Welcome to the show, the Raising 11 episode 2. I'm Coach Robert, and today's guest is Miss Marisha. Miss Marisha, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Coach Robert. How are you?
I'm doing good. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Really quick, before we get started, can you give us a little bit of background and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, that's one of my least favorite questions because it just leaves me open to talk. And as you know, I like to talk a lot. So I'll try to keep it short, sweet, and simple. I am a Central Valley, California girl. And I grew up student athlete, any sport, every sport, but my main sport was basketball and track. I actually started out as a soccer player, and then once I was old enough to play basketball on comp teams, then I joined and I didn't ever look back. But I went to UC Davis. I ran track at the collegiate level. We were a Division I school once I transitioned there. And yeah, from there, I've worked in the education space, doing a number of different roles and age groups that I've worked with. And I'm currently an entrepreneur. And for those who don't know, I am supporting Coach Robert as the business development and marketing director for future World Cup champion. So that's a little bit about me.
Thank you very much. That's great. And that's exactly the topic that we're talking about today, student athletes. And You have a ton of experience there. Let's just jump right into it. What was the biggest, you said you went to UC Davis, which is a Division I school, and You ran track there, right?
I did. I was a sprinter.
Fantastic. I myself like sprinting. I'd never ran track, but I like the idea of running short distances instead of miles and miles on end.
Yeah, my sport was other sport players' punishment. So whenever you do something wrong in any other sport, they make you run. But that was just what I had to do every day, all day, just because I ran track. So it wasn't really much you can do to punish a track runner.
Right. They're like, no, go play basketball.
Right.
Well, when you were in school, how was it trying to balance your schoolwork, you know, your day in and day out of classes and day in and day out of your sport? Because, I mean, you had practice every day and it was a regular thing, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, and my philosophy is it takes a village. As you know, you might hear me say that often. And I really did have a village around me. So, you know, in my home life, obviously, my parents were very adamant about making sure that I got my schoolwork done because that was the priority. You know, I couldn't participate in sports if I didn't have my grades up to par, because at the end of the day, that was really what they saw as the foundation. So I had my parents who made sure that my coaches were also on board with that, my teachers who were also on board with that. So it was kind of like anywhere I turned, everyone knew, like, hey, make sure you're doing what you need to do academically so that you can continue to participate, you know, in your sports. So definitely having people around you to kind of support you. I think one of the things that, in terms of support specifically, was that I was always encouraged to ask questions if I needed help. So some, you know, I really like school and I really like sports, but sometimes school is not for everybody, and it can be really challenging and less exciting for some student athletes. And so we tend to just kind of overly, you know, push ourselves in spaces like sports when we don't really find passion on the academic side. But I always say, you know, you've got to find that balance. And if there are subjects that are challenging for you, just like you would in your sport, if there's something that you need improvement in, you're going to ask or your coach is going to tell you, right? And so making sure that if there's any area that you're struggling in, that you speak up, take initiative and ask for support. That's how you get better. And that's something that, again, is equally important for athletics as well as academics. So I would say that the two things that helped me to kind of balance was making sure that I had a supportive network of people around me. And also, you know, those people who kind of built this confidence in saying, hey, I don't know how to do science or math. Those weren't really my good subjects at all. Or, you know, and I need support. So what can we do, parents, teachers, coaches, to make sure that I'm not spending so much time time in my sport if I need to kind of catch up and get some extra support in my academics. So I would say those are kind of two big things, but then also just learning how to manage your time. And the earlier you can start that, the better. I think students kind of know what their strong suits are. You know, for me, like I said, I knew at an early age, I did not like math. I did not like science. It was hard for me. You know, it took longer for me to understand those concepts. And in the beginning, I didn't speak out about it. But when I started to, my grades started to reflect that these were weaker subjects, that's when everybody kind of, the village stepped in and said, okay, well, if you don't do well here, you've got to take some time out of your sports and other extracurricular activities to make sure that you're staying up to speed with your grades, especially in these subjects. And so time management goes into that by saying, instead of going to practice right away, maybe I'm going to spend an extra 30 minutes after school, you know, studying or getting some additional supports, practicing, you know, math problems or going through whatever science or whatever the subject matter is, right, that you don't really understand. Spend a little extra time there and then go to practice, right? So that you can make sure that you're balancing it out, right? Your academics and your sport. Absolutely. So,
I mean, was there a time where you would say, okay, I'm going to forget about the math today and just go to practice? Were you ever at practice kind of thinking about that math quiz or whatever it was, kind of taking away the focus of your performance in the sport because of that?
You know, that's a good question. I think I kind of have a way of compartmentalizing things, especially when it came to sports. Once I'm playing, I'm in it. I'm super competitive and, you know, I just kind of really try to focus, you know, my efforts there. But I think one thing that sports allowed me to learn wasn't just the skill set of the sport, but it allowed me to really develop that skill of self-discipline. So equally as hard as I would go at playing my sport at practice or in the game, I would take that same discipline and say, hey, well, here is an area of my life, school, or this specific subject that I don't understand. So I'm going to have to practice a little bit harder versus in English or history, subjects that I really enjoyed, right? Those came easy to me. So I could get those done in, you know, shorter amount of time. So it's kind of like figuring out, what are you good at? Do those, get that out of the way, go do your practice, and then, you know, spend some time, extra time doing the subjects that come a little bit harder, or in the reverse, where you're spending the first extra amount of time on the subjects that are a little bit more difficult, then go do your thing, focus on the athletic part, and then get back to the subjects where it's easier. That way, after practice, you're not trying to rack your brain on something that's strenuous, right? You're doing the problems or the subjects that come a little bit easier to you.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. I mean, especially after practice, you're exhausted from your practice, and now you got to use that mental strength and try to come up with all these answers to these questions that are already difficult. Yeah,
yes.
That makes perfect sense. Was there ever a time when you were in school that you felt overwhelmed? Could you tell us about any time that happened and how you got through it?
You know, being a student athlete is it poses challenges that are a little bit different, unique, and probably a little bit more challenging than just the typical student, right? Who has all the time in the world to just focus on that one thing. In prior to college, for example, I was doing volunteer work. I was in the band. I was in leadership. And then I was in, you know, not only on sports teams for my school, but then I was also on club basketball teams. So there was a lot that I was juggling, and I don't really know how, looking back, I'm like, how was I like, what, 14, 15, juggling all this stuff? But again, it's like you kind of learn, you learn to manage, right? You learn to kind of compartmentalize. This is how long it generally takes me to do X. So if X takes me a long, long time, I better get started with that first, right? And break it down into bite-sized sized chunks over the course of a couple of days so that you're not trying to do all of it at one time, right? But I would say, I think that is probably the biggest sense of challenge or pressure, is that you have not only, you know, your academics that you're focusing on in school, but then you're also focusing on your sports and maybe other extracurricular activities on top of that. And then I think it's adding the element of traveling as well, and then forming relationships with people on a team that maybe you don't associate with off the court. Generally, you would want to have, you know, a bond with people outside of that, but you can't force that, right? So I think there were some pressures around like social expectations, like how do you build relationships with people on and off the court? There was the element of, again, participating in multiple things at one time. And then I think the biggest pressure of all is when you are at a certain level, right? Like if you're really skilled, there's this kind of like cloud that almost follows you where you just expect like you have to be good every single time. Like you just, you know, and it's almost kind of paralyzing in a way, because you just, you kind of like grow this anxiety almost where it's like you have to be good. And sometimes that spills over into other areas of your life. Like everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be good because you've been, you know, kind of trained to get this sense of validation and approval and almost perfection, if you will, from your sport. And over time, at least for me, I started to notice how that pressure really kind of spilled and mindset spilled over into other areas of my life as well.
So the mindset that spilled over into the other areas, was that, would you consider that good and the anxiety bad? Is there like a balance of those two? Would you say it was a pro or a con, that mindset spilling over into the other parts of your life?
I believe that our society, and especially as it relates to the sports world, you know, we're very competitive, and for the most part, we are pushed to win, right? And I think that winning and success, the way that society tends to paint that picture, it can certainly create a lot of pressure and anxiety in a not good way. But we have to understand that failure and making mistakes is a part of the journey to success. That is how you get better. Think about, you know, when you lose a game and you were recording the game, when you go back and watch the footage, those are moments where you're able to kind of learn, okay, what can I do differently? What skills maybe did I not execute on that could have reversed the game if I actually, you know, were implementing these things, right? And this is for an individual or the team collectively. And so I think, you know, success and having this mindset of perfection, et cetera, it's not realistic. And so I think we need to have more conversations with our young student athletes that winning is fun, obviously, and it's great, but it's not always realistic, right? There are going to be times, not only in our sport, but in school and in life in general, where things don't go according to plan, where we fail, where we make mistakes, when we're not the best player or the best performer or the best whatever. And that's okay, right? There's times for everybody to shine and have an opportunity, but I think it's more about, am I growing as a player, as a student, as a person in general, right? And learning how to balance and understand that success and winning includes losing sometimes, because it just means that there's opportunity to grow and get better.
Absolutely. I hear you 100% with that. 100%. I do want to backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
You mentioned back when you were 14 and 15 that you were super busy in band and your sports and in school. At that time, did you have a plan as to, you know, I want to go to college, I want to do this, I know what I want to be when I grow up? Did you have that already set out? Did you have that thought process by that point, or were you kind of like the rest of us? And
I do say that sometimes I feel like I was a weird kid because I did know what I wanted. I've always loved working with kids and families. Even in high school, actually, we had what was called a PACE lab, and it stood for Parent and Child Education Lab or Center, which was, unfortunately, some kids in high school had babies, and that was a center where they could take their kids. But peers of theirs, like myself, we could go and teach and kind of help take care of those kids for a class like human development, child development. So I actually took that class in high school every year because I really loved working with kids and babies and families. And so I knew that I was going to college. I assumed that I was going to play basketball, actually, all those years. So I knew that I was going to college. I knew that I was going to play a sport, and I knew what I wanted to study. It turns out I didn't actually go to school for basketball. I actually went for track, but also I got some academic scholarships as well. So it wasn't just that I heavily, which is why I encourage students to expand your options and horizons, right? Explore other things because, you know, I was able to get some support for both my performance academically just as much as I was on the athletic front. But personally, once I knew that I was going for track, I didn't really care to go beyond college. It was just, you know, a way for me to pay for my education, essentially, or help pay for my education. You know, I think that to be completely honest, I don't think that it's very common to know at that age what you want to do. You're still young. But I think the more that parents and teachers and people in young people's lives, like whoever is working with them or involved with young people, create opportunities for them to learn who they are and what they like at as many opportunities as possible beyond just school, beyond just sports. Maybe they are interested in technology or the 4-H club, right? The environment or animals. And so give them opportunities to be exposed to as many things as possible, because that's how they will start to know what they're attracted to and what interests them, right?
Absolutely. You know, that's funny you mentioned that, because where I grew up, you had certain cliques, certain people who gathered together, and these people went to 4-H, and these people played soccer, and those people played, you know, football. So everything was really kind of in cliques. And there was really no, my parents are Mexican. You know, we only did what Mexicans did. And not because, you know, we didn't like other people, but they didn't speak the language. So it was a huge barrier for us. We didn't have, my parents never went to go speak to my teachers just because they couldn't speak to my teachers because they didn't speak the language. So there was, it wasn't until my oldest sister was old enough to translate that, you know, I was able to have exposure, like you said, exposure to the band or a different sport and stuff like that, just because we never knew that options existed. So I agree with you 100%, because at that age, you know, you could say, hey, I want to do this thing, and then turns out that, hey, I hate doing that thing.
Absolutely. You know? But you'll never know unless you try it. And I think, you know, when we look at how many people drop out of college or people who switch their programs 2 and 3 and 4 times before they graduate, it's because they're doing the exploring at that point when they should have been doing it earlier. I say start in elementary school, right? You can, there's so many things that you can just, it doesn't have to be for the purpose of finding a career path. It's just exploring your interests, right? And allowing yourself, your children, your students, your athletes, whatever, you know, the younger generations, it's allowing them to, just like we said, be exposed to different people, be exposed to different options and opportunities that exist out there. It's helping them to learn and make connections, maybe sometimes to things that are actually being discussed in the classroom. You can also correlate, you know, other activities to what you need to know how to be able to do when you're playing soccer or other sports, right? Things get connected and you can make these associations the more you have exposure to different parts of life and different people in life, right? So I think that was partly why I knew, because my parents let me do whatever I said I wanted to try. They're like, okay, sure, go ahead. They never stopped me. But if I wanted to quit, then they're like, okay, right? She knows what she wants, apparently, so just let her do it. And I think just allowing kids to find their way a little bit, but create some guidance around it, of course, but let them kind of just explore. If they start out in piano and ballet and soccer, but then only end up with soccer and piano, or switch to saxophone, whatever, you know, like, just let them explore, because you don't know what they'll end up kind of discovering, whether that's a skill set or set of knowledge or connections to people that really can put them on a path to where they're supposed to be going.
Terrific. Like you said, let them explore. I would agree with that. And I would add to it that let them explore, let your kids explore. But at the same time, build them up, build that. If they're interested in piano, you know, maybe don't go out and buy them a piano because it's, you know, thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
But maybe piano lessons, you know, maybe something that if they're interested in it, let them have success in it. Give them something that they can do and really see how it nurture. There you go. Nurture it and see where it leads. Because maybe you're the best violinist in the world, but because you never pursued it, you're not.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. 100%. It's definitely about exposure. And I think, like, back to your original question, did I know at 14 or 15? I can say yes, but that's because I did have exposure to different things. And I would be the person to take initiative and say, hey, mama, hey, daddy, this is what I want to do. I want to try this thing out, right? And like I said, they would just say, okay, and kind of just let me go for it. So
that's great. That's great. Good job to your parents. Well, as you know, our work together is with futureworldcupchampions.com, and we work with soccer players. And is there, you know, if you had one piece of advice, one drill, one thing that you must absolutely do that you would tell yourself, you know, your younger self, what would that be?
As it relates to sports or life or anything?
as it relates to sports, let's go with that.
Okay. So something that I would tell my younger self. So I'll answer that by sharing this. I absolutely loved basketball because it was fun. It was a team environment. It just felt natural. And that natural flow made me feel confident. Track, on the other hand, I was good at track. I was fast. I mean, clearly I went to a D1 school, but I only did it just because I was good at it. I wasn't really ever passionate about it. And so I think that it's important as a student athlete to know the difference between the two. You could be good at something, but if you don't love it, don't force yourself to do it. Because I think that's also what created a lot of pressure for me when I competed in track versus when I competed on the court playing basketball. I didn't absolutely love it, so I didn't always give my 100%. If you think about that, that's it naturally has that effect. And we can look at that in any area of life. If we don't absolutely love something, we could be good at something, but if we don't absolutely love it, we're not going to put in the same amount of effort, right? And so I just think that student athletes and parents of student athletes, or, you know, whoever, parents or guardians, make sure that you don't force your students to play a sport. You know, really kind of stay checking in with them to make sure that, you know, they're having a good time, because ultimately, that's what it is at the end of the day. I know that you can go on and be a professional player, or even, you know, like I said, for me, have an opportunity to compete at the collegiate level and support, you know, with your athletic talents, but you should still be having fun at the end of the day. You should still love what you're doing, because that's how you're going to show up and contribute as an individual to the collective goal. So I would say younger self, and to young, you know, student athletes now, you just got to love what you do because you'll show up every day excited to do it. And that's when you perform better.
Fantastic. Thank you.
What about you? What would you say? I'm curious.
Oh, what would I say? I think I would tell my younger self to focus more. Pick something and really focus on it. Because there's been a lot of times I've seen in my own life, as well as people that I know and I grew up with, that we were just dabbled in this and dabbled in that, and nothing comes of it. So I would say definitely just pick something. Pick whatever it is and work really, really, really hard for it. Because you're either... I would rather you be really good at one thing than mediocre at a lot of things.
That makes sense. Yeah, that consistency, that commitment is huge.
But it kind of goes along with what you said of having passion and loving what you do. If you're just dabbling, you know, people get a job and they go to a job and they go to work every day. And maybe that they might be good at it, but they're not loving it. If you choose that one thing that you really love and you get really good at it, that can be your job. That could be the thing that you do forever. And you'll be super happy. And the flip side is if you pick that one thing and it turns out it's not your passion, well, you've spent enough time and you're good enough that you've made a name for yourself there that it shouldn't be that difficult to transition into the things that you do love.
Absolutely. Agreed. And it takes, you know, courage to step out on things that sometimes we love, but we don't maybe see the safety security net. But again, that passion turns into diligence, which is consistency, like you're saying. And over time, just like, you know, when you first start soccer, you don't know all the skills, all the techniques, all the moves, you know, like it's baby steps. You gradually over time build up skill after skill after skill. And then you're kind of putting two and three things together and you eventually build up to that elite level. Absolutely. With the consistency, with the passion. But if you don't have that passion and you don't have that consistency, like you said, then that's where mediocre, if mediocre at all, is where you end up. So just like you had faith in yourself to keep going and keep practicing the skill of whatever the skill is, whether it's learning a sport, whether it is learning an instrument or learning something for a job, that consistency, that passion, those I think are definitely at the core, the foundation for sure.
Couldn't agree more. Well, Ms. Marisha, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I know it was kind of hard to make this appointment, but it worked out.
We made it work.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us before we finish up?
No, I'm just excited to start connecting with more of you, whether you as in student athletes, whether that's you as other educators and coaches. But yeah, for those future World Cup champions and ambassadors, I'm excited for you guys to kind of start spreading the word and sharing with your friends and family. We're obviously, this is what, episode 2. So we're kind of getting the ball rolling here on the podcast front, and our social media and blogs are going to be coming out more regularly. So I'm really excited to just start connecting with more of you and seeing how we can support you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. Like you mentioned, you can find us on Facebook at futureworldcupchampions.com, on Instagram with the same name at the website, futureworldcupchampions.com/blog, and also at futureworldcupchampions.com/raising11. for the podcast. And thank you very much. You could also find it on Apple and wherever else you find podcasts.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Well, thank you again for having me.
Of course. Thank you for showing up, and we will talk soon. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.